Larkspur sat under the sunshade outside her lodge. The sun beat down on the protecting granite mounds that rose behind Round Rock Camp. The warmth reflecting from the hot stone soothed her ancient bones and joints. The sunshade consisted of a square framework of juniper that supported a woven thatch roof of willow and giant wild rye. Green Mountain dominated the skyline to the south, rising like a humped monster against the endless blue of the late spring sky. Up high, the meadows between timber patches gleamed in new green. Fed by winter melt, the grass had grown thick this year. Even the trees appeared to be a richer shade of green than usual. They contrasted with the blue-green sage on the terraces below the mountain, but even there, grass had given the landscape life.
Too bad I can't walk as well as I used to.
Larkspur eyed the pathways to the top of the mountain. As a young girl, she'd enjoyed climbing those slopes, a digging stick in one hand to pry out roots, and a bag in the other to carry the harvest of scurf pea, paintbrush, and wild onions. She stared around the camp, so curiously silent now that her daughters, Pretty Woman, Limbercone, and Flockseed, had gone up with the men to collect Shooting Star, Biscuit Root, and the first tender leaves of dock. In the baking light of the sun, the camp rested. The young dogs had gone with the rest to carry packs, but the old dogs slept in the shade, grunting occasionally as they dreamed. In the manner of their kind, they'd wake for a moment to look at her with lonesome eyes before rolling over on their sides. The gathering would be coming soon. This year, the Three Forks Valley would hold the clans. Better there than over at Sand Wash like last year.
A walk down there almost killed me. And next year, if Grouse Camp wants to hold the gathering clear over on Sage Grouse River, I don't think I can go that far.
She glared at her swollen ankles.
Oh, you're getting old, Larkspur. Too old.
She squinted up at the slivers of sunlight that slipped through the sunshade. It would be time to leave the earthen shelters soon. The people did that in the summertime, moved around their territory, setting up temporary camps where the root grounds looked the most productive, or where the stands of rice grass and giant wild rye bore the richest seeds. The local spirits provided well, as long as the people treated them and their root grounds and plants with respect. Besides, who could blame a spirit for getting mad if people came and ate all the plants? Spirits had a love for their places, and the things that grew and lived in them, just as humans loved their camps. Moving around served other purposes, too. By spring, people were ready to live in the open. After so many turnings of the winter moon, the earthen lodges wore on a person. Warm and comfortable as they were in winter, the soul needed to be out in the air during the warm season.
And just moving around will leave you aching and tired, getting too old for your own good.
One of the dogs pricked up its ears and sat up, staring off to the west. Then the old black bitch who slept by the side of the lodge doorway stood. Larkspur tottered to her feet and stepped out for a better view. She had to shade her eyes against the sun. A lone figure approached, traveling in a distance-eating trot.
Cattail!
She returned to the shade, where she settled herself and waited. What brought him back? They dig their fill of biscuit root already? She peered up at Green Mountain. When the dry winds blew hot across the Coldwater Basin and the sagebrush shimmered in the heat, she'd be wishing she were up there. Maybe it would be a good year to camp by the Moss Spring. Bulrush grew in the spring's soggy soils. They'd had a wet year, and the mosquitoes would come in swarms. In the high country, they could avoid the worst of the plague. Not only that, but a stand of subalpine fir grew up there. The sap could be collected and mixed with mint and mountain oregano, then burned to keep the bugs away. The resulting black smudge would smoke clothing and purify the air. They needed more sap anyway. She'd burned the last of her supply with the black larkspur when lice appeared in tubers, clothing, and hair. They'd smoked all their bedding and hides to drive the little pests away.
Hello?
Cattail stopped long enough to duck into Limbercone's lodge. He emerged with a water skin and drank greedily. He brought the water with him as he joined Larkspur and squatted in the shade.
Oh, Greetings, Grandmother. It's a long run.
Oh. And a warm day to run in for a change.
She blinked at the constant irritation in her eyes. Too much wood smoke during her life, she supposed.
You're back early. Are the collecting sacks full?
Cattail wiped at the sweat on his broad forehead and squinted out across the sagebrush.
Oh, mostly. The others will probably start back tomorrow morning.
And what else?
Cattail draped calloused hands over his knees and settled back on his heels.
A little toe passed us on the way from Three Forks back to his wife's people at Badwater.
And?
He's worried. Owl Clover is talking about witching.
Three Forks is always worried about witching.
I know, but Little Toe grew up there. He said that as much as Greenfire worried about it, Owl Clover is worse. He said his aunt is almost crazy. I guess Shadblow, the man married to Starwort, saw a witch.
Saw one?
That's what Little Toe says. Someone spied on Three Forks. They found tracks. And Shadblow says he saw someone out in the sagebrush.
But he didn't talk to him? Didn't recognize him?
Not from what Little Toe says. He didn't really want to talk about it. We had to dig the story out of him. He's uneasy. A little frightened himself. He knows how Three Forks feels about witching. But he's also lived with Bone Ring long enough to have better ideas. The worst thing is that whoever this witch was, he was hanging around when Green Fire died.
Uh-huh.
Larkspur gave Cattail a glance from the corner of her eye.
And what's the rest?
Remember that streak of green flame that burned across the sky? Basket lost a baby when that happened. Little Toe says his sister is worse now than Greenfire or even Owl Clover ever thought about being. Owl Clover's talking about accusing Blackhand of witchcraft during the gathering.
That wouldn't be good. But no one actually saw Blackhand.
No one really saw anything. At least that's what I got from Little Toe.
Larkspur narrowed her eyes. Blackhand would come to Round Rock Camp before he went to the gathering. That gave her a little time.
You know, once someone openly accuses Blackhand of witching, especially in the middle of the gathering, it will go around like wildfire. And he'll be traveling with us.
I thought it was important enough to come tell you. Limbercone is worried. She thought that maybe Blackhand might already be here. I know he's coming.
Larkspur studied him thoughtfully.
What else do you think, Cattail? You've always had a good head on your shoulders.
I think that no matter what happens, Blackhand is in trouble. I don't think anyone will attack him at the gathering. People will just talk. But Three Forks has a lot of status. What people there say will carry weight. I've always liked Blackhand. If he told people he'd lost his power, that would go a long way toward lessening their fears.
It would.
People know that a witch doesn't marry. Larkspur pulled at her chin.
Tell me, you've always listened and watched. You keep a curb on your tongue and don't wag it for the joy of hearing yourself talk. I've long respected that in you. You've known Blackhand for many seasons. What do you think about him and Bitterbrush?
I think she'll take him. Yes, I watched Blackhand when Warmfire was dying. He desires her, but he couldn't let it be known. Not with her husband, whom she loved, dying in front of her eyes. I know my daughter. Her heart still aches for Warmfire, but she's a practical woman. I think she understands the status she'll gain through Black Hand. She knows people will say he gave up power for her.
That they will. And everyone knows a witch doesn't lie with a woman. It would drain his power.
The best of both situations.
That's what I've always wanted. It will take the strength out of Owl Clover's accusation and blow her words away with the wind.
There's something else Little Toe mentioned.
Yes?
Not Three Forks, but Badwater.
What now? Is Bone Ring off on a witching bent, too? I thought she had more sense.
Little Toe says that Bone Ring is fretting about the Sun People. I guess Half Moon ran into some wolf warriors. The story is they'd wiped out a camp of Sun People just north of the Sideways Mountains. Bone Ring is starting to worry. We've all heard the stories that have come down from the north about how the Sun People make war. When they can't kill others and take their territory, they kill themselves. Bone Ring need only step out her door and look up at the sideways mountains right behind her camp to know how close those Sun People came. Bad Water lies just down from one of the passes. She says the Wolf People are nervous, that something happened in the north and...
Bah! The north's the north. Sun People aren't coming here. That's just another story to stir people up. Bone Ring ought to know better. Let the Sun People come. When we see their scouts on this side of the Sideways Mountains, we'll send you and the others to chase them back with their tails between their legs. What are a bunch of wild buffalo hunters to us? They're no threat.
Cattail tilted his head uncertainly, lost in his thoughts. Larkspur turned back to important things.
Yes. Black Hand and Bitterbrush. That's the answer. Bitterbrush is no fool.
Brave Man hitched his way along the narrow trail that wound through the trees. He'd learned to live with the pain, but on this day, searing agony lanced up from his knee to mix with the throb of his constant headache. The joint had healed, the bone grown together and fused. It would take his weight, even if it would never bend again. In silent misery, he endured. They traveled through black timber here, following the trails his warriors had scouted. The grass meadow mountains seemed like a paradise. The maze of shadowy trails through the timber gave way to secluded meadows where elk and buffalo grazed. The dizzying heights allowed a man to look out over the vast, irregular plains to the east, the eye casting forever to the infinite horizon. Truly, this place might be the top of the world. Behind him came the main body of the Broken Stones. The young women had left their children in care of the elders and fanned out to trap game and to hunt, or to raise the alarm to defend the band should any of the Wolf People slip through the lines of warriors. Nor would any warrior shirk, aware that no enemy must pass their lines lest his family be attacked. Flying Hawk had located the Wolf People's camp, scouted it, and found it full of people. He reported that quarters of elk and buffalo hung back in the trees. From the report, this was no ordinary camp they had found, but one preparing for some sort of ceremony.
There's no sign that they know we're close. With that much meat hanging, they won't have hunting parties out. The warriors are lying around in the sun, gambling with bones and telling stories. The women are busy baking roots, and the children are playing games. We didn't see any scouts. They won't know what hit them.
Nevertheless, Brave Man's warriors combed the trails that ran through the timber. The Broken Stones knew the ways of such land. Prior to moving into the Fat Beaver Country, they'd hunted and warred in the forested mountains that dotted the territory between Dangerous River and the Fat Beaver. Before that, they'd hunted the spruce and fir woodlands that stretched across the north. Now they moved like smoke through the trees.
Ah.
Brave Man ducked a low fir branch and winced at the throbbing agony the movement caused him. Pale Raven trod softly behind him as his vision shimmered with sudden tears.
I could stop the pain.
He had given his warriors special instructions.
When you take the camp, there will be a woman among the captives. Her name is White Ash, and once she was White Clay. No one must harm her. She has power. Bring her to me, unharmed, you understand?
The warriors had grinned knowingly, eyes gleaming.
You've dreamed victory?
I have dreamed the greatest of victories. We will break the Wolf People. And afterward, we will dance through the day and into the night. We shall make a fire that shines clear up to the camp of the dead, so all may know the power of Brave Man and the Broken Stones. And I saw myself with White Ash. She's there, waiting for me. The dreams will come true. My power will mix with hers, and not even the golden mist will spurn me. Among the Sun People, no name will be spoken as reverently as Brave Man's.
Brave Man rounded a bend in the trail and came upon two of his warriors crouched in the deadfall. Beyond them, the trail opened into a meadow. He stopped and bent to peer through the branches.
What have you found, Yellow Rock?
We can't go closer.
The wolf people are camped beyond that patch of timber.
Our warriors are spreading out.
Brave Man looked up and noted the slant of the sunlight. It would be dark soon.
They are.
Yellow Rock grinned as he nodded and shook his fist.
By tomorrow morning, that whole camp will be surrounded. As the sun reddens the dawn, we'll be ready for your war cry. When we hear your call upon your power, we'll hit them from all sides. They'll never know what happened. By the time the sun crests the mountain peaks, a new way will have come to the wolf people.
Brave Man tilted his head back.
Soon, you will have White Ash soon.
The sun slanted through the clear morning air and across the peaks, where snow still resisted the warmer weather, and tipped the timber with yellow and green.
Trouble?
White Ash sat up in the robes at Bad Belly's worried call. She blinked the sleep out of her eyes, wondering how they could have slept so late. Bad Belly stood at the edge of their camp, peering off into the brush. The necklace he'd been working on dangled from his hand.
What is it?
He turned, and she could see his unease.
Trouble's gone. I woke up just at dawn to finish my necklace and he wasn't here. I thought he'd be back by now.
He's a dog, Bad Belly. He knows the way back.
But what if he's lost?
White Ash stood and stretched, sniffing the clean, cool air. At this altitude, the morning carried a chill. She could see her breath.
Well, where do we go to look for him?
I don't know. We can't even find any wolf people. If he can't find wolf people, how can we find the wolf bundle? If we can't do that, how can we find Trouble?
Trouble will probably find us.
White Ash rolled up the bedding and bound it tightly. She took several pieces of jerked meat from the pack Singing Stones had given them. Then she paused and looked around. They'd camped under a low rise on a ridgetop. On the other side of the brush screening the camp, the limestone that capped the ridge dropped off in a sheer cliff into a narrow, grass-filled valley. Stands of trees rose to both sides in a thick tangle of black timber. Bad Belly fussed around the edges of the camp.
Trouble!
Here, eat some of this. He'll be back.
White Ash handed Bad Belly a piece of the jerky.
You finished the necklace. Let me see it.
Bad Belly handed the necklace over before accepting the hard meat. Worry etched his homely face, and he couldn't help but glance nervously at the brush, as if expecting Trouble to appear. She patted his shoulder before inspecting the necklace.
You look terrible. Are you sure it's just Trouble you're worried about?
He failed to hide the misery in his eyes.
Well, there was one of those visions last night, too. You know, part of a power dream. I heard the wolf bundle urging me on. Something's gonna happen soon. Something terrible.
Wonderful.
White Ash fingered the necklace, barely aware of the exquisite workmanship. The stone teeth Bad Belly had laboriously drilled and knotted into the leather thong felt curiously cool. She couldn't look at him. Each day she dragged her feet, retarding their progress through the hated wolf people's land, urging Bad Belly to take the back trails, getting them lost, anything to slow their progress. And during it all, her heart had pumped bright fear through her. It still did. The destruction of the white clay and Three Bulls' rape hung like a curtain in her thoughts.
And that vision last night was about the future. Of how it might be if we don't save the wolf bundle.
Go on.
She made herself glance at him.
Well, it's hard to explain. I saw people digging up rocks and carrying them across great distances to a large room. A room you can't imagine. Big enough to throw a dart across. Giant fire pits had been dug into the wall. It was hot, miserably hot. And the men were pushing the rocks into fires raging in the pits.
And then what?
Bad Belly waved the stick of jerky in the air.
You won't believe this, but the rocks melted and ran out of the bottom as yellow liquid. The men cooled it and beat it with hammers and made it into things. Some of it was gleaming yellow stuff that went to powerful leaders who sat on top of mountains. It was them, you see? The leaders. They made those miserable people work in that hot, fiery place.
So what does it mean?
It's what we have to stop, don't you see? We have to dream a new way for the Sun People, or they'll never know the One. And if they don't know the One, they'll change the Earth. They won't dream with it. They'll separate themselves from it and forget the dream.
White Ash nodded. gaining a glimmer of understanding.
And I'm the bridge. The way between the peoples.
White Ash stared at her hands. They'd closed around Bad Belly's necklace. At another time, she would have marveled at the craft he put into the ornament. But this morning, a coldness lay within her breast. In silence, she reached up and draped the necklace around his neck. For a brief moment, their eyes met. Then White Ash had to look away. Bad Belly wandered off to the edge of the clearing.
Trouble!
Hey, do you want to call all the wolf people in the mountains down on us?
Bad Belly colored.
No. But trouble's lost, I know it.
She raised her eyes to the sky and shook her head.
He'll come back. Dogs are like that. He probably charged off after a rabbit. Dogs have great noses, they can follow their trail back.
Well, we can't go anywhere until he shows up.
White Ash walked over, chewing on the jerked meat, and put an arm around his shoulder, hugging him tight.
I know. It's a nice camp. We've got water down in that little creek. The view to the west goes all the way to the Red Rock Mountains. I think we can wait until trouble comes back. And there is less chance someone will see us.
You've been scared half to death, haven't you?
When I think of wolf people, I think of Three Bulls.
I told you. If any of the wolf people catch us, we'll just tell them we're looking for Left Hand.
If I don't throw up.
That may be a little awkward. But I suppose I could tell them we wanted to trade with Left Hand for healing herbs. It's all right. We're Earth people. Friends of the wolf people. They're only at war with the sun people. Just don't say anything in sun people talk and they'll never know.
Sure.
Ice fingers curled in her guts.
Come on, let's...
Wolf people.
Bad Belly led the way into the screening brush that overlooked the limestone cliff. White Ash crouched beside him at the edge and looked down. Three women, burdened with infants in their arms, and five small children ran down the valley. Behind them, a man broke out of the trees. He kept looking anxiously over his shoulder as he ran. He carried an atlatl and two darts, one knocked for casting.
Hurry!
Within moments, the fugitives had crossed the valley and disappeared into the trees. Bad Belly sat back on his heels and chewed on his thumb.
What do you think they're running from?
War.
War?
I've seen enough of it. It's war.
Oh, no. War? And trouble's lost in the middle of it? We've got to...
We're not going to do anything of the kind. We're going to sit here and keep out of it.
But trouble...
Bad Belly, listen to me. You've never lived it. You don't know what it's like. The Earth people haven't raided and warred for a long time. People die, Bad Belly. People are darted, get their skulls bashed in, wounds get infected, and pus runs out like rivers as the person swells up and burns with fever. They die slowly. Terribly.
I know.
And you know that it could happen to us.
He closed his eyes and nodded again. More people broke out of the trees and ran in panic across the valley below.
Who? Who would raid wolf people?
Sun people. Broken Stones, most likely. Last winter they hunted where the Grey Deer River joins the Fat Beaver, east of the Black Point Range.
Just like in the dream. It's happening just like in the dream.
Come on, let's get our packs and get out of here. Whoever they're running from will be coming after them.
Bad Belly followed as she eased back from the edge. With frantic fingers, she tied the hide packs closed, then glanced around to be sure they hadn't missed anything. She started for the trail that led down into the timber.
Wait.
We've got to get away from here.
Bad Belly looked up at the bald rise above the camp.
At least let me check to see if trouble's up there. Maybe a pack rat has a nest up in those rocks. It'll just take a minute.
All right, but hurry. You don't want to run into a band of anyone. Broken Stones will kill as quickly as wolf people. And any stranger will be a target.
They picked their way up through the rocks. Bad Belly crested the top and stopped. She climbed up next to him, and at her feet lay the edge of an immense star wheel. It rested on the flat top of the knob, while the sides dropped off all the way around. She would have had to stretch her legs to cross it in 20 paces. Spokes composed of head-sized white stones crisscrossed the circle in all directions. The wheel looked old, with grass growing up around the stones, and silt was piled in the cairns that marked the center and major directions. The whole of the sky would be visible. Not even the treetops broke the horizon. The view was spectacular, from the Red Rock Mountains on the west, far into the plains on the east. White Ash could feel power here, watching, hovering in the air. It her ears trick her? Or did she hear an old woman's chant?
Look! Look at this! It's wonderful! You could follow the tracks of all the stars and the sun and...
And people are trying to kill us!
Bad Belly tore his eyes from the circle and started around the edge of the flat, peering over the side for trouble. White Ash set her pack down and started around the other way. She couldn't see any trace of Bad Belly's dog.
This is crazy. Bad Belly, I'm going back down to the trailhead. Someone has to keep an eye on what's happening down there. If more people show up, we'll have to find another way off this point.
He nodded and waved, continuing his circle of the knob. White Ash grabbed her pack and started back down the trail.
Die any second and is worried about a dog that has more sense than he does.
She dropped her pack by the trail that led down through the trees and crawled to the edge of the limestone cliff. The meadow looked deceptively peaceful and empty.
Hurry, Bad Belly, hurry!
She chafed, hating each passing instant. Then two warriors broke out of the trees and her heart stopped. She knew the cut of their clothing. That long, fringed hunting shirt and the tight-fitting leggings with fringe along the outside were worn by only one people. Sun people. Broken Stones. Careful lest she make a sound, she backed away from the cliff toward the brush. She started to reach for her pack and realized it had been moved. She spun at the faint noise behind her, watching in terror as the warrior stepped out from behind firs that marked the trail ahead. He smiled, triumph in his eyes.
Don't leave your pack lying in the trail next time, Wolf Woman.
She wheeled and dashed into the arms of a second man. Brave Man walked through the camp of the wolf people. Another camp of the dead. But this time, he had dispatched the victims.
Will any of you escape as I did? I doubt it. The power is mine.
He looked down at a young warrior who lay in the sun, a dart jutting from his bloody belly. Someone had finished the job by dashing his brains with a war club. Pale Raven walked beside Brave Man, absently noting the smoking fire pits and the smoke-browned covers of the lodges that caught the morning sunlight. Except for the bodies, the place might have been peacefully waiting the owner's return. Here and there, a lodge had been upended, but otherwise, personal possessions lay where they had been dropped.
It happened the way you dreamed it would. The very same.
Satisfaction threatened to burst Brave Man's breast.
I am the new way. No one will stand before the Broken Stones. Power whispers in my mind. One day soon, all the Sun people will speak my name.
Pale Raven gave him a sultry glance.
I have come to believe you.
Brave Man stopped at one of the fire pits. A roast lay on the gray coals. The bottom had charred during the fighting, but juices bubbled out of the top. He enjoyed the savory scent of elk meat.
I would have some of that.
Pale Raven reached into her belt pouch and produced a hafted chert knife. Deftly, she cut a long slice from the top and handed it to him. He took a bite. Warm juices filled his mouth. He chewed thoughtfully as he looked about the trampled meadow. Several of the younger warriors guarded the perimeter of the camp, eyes on the trees, lest any of the fleeing wolf warriors double back. In the center of the camp stood a solitary lodge, the largest in the camp, surrounded by a clear space. The cover had been decorated with colorful paintings of the sun, of wolf and fire, the moon and stars, and several large spirals had been painted in red to either side of the door flaps. Brave Man hitched his way across the open space and stopped. Just in front of the lodge, a gray-haired elder lay on his back, arms and legs sprawled. A dart had been driven all the way through his body. The old eyes stared sightlessly into the sky. Something about the old man's expression, as if the shaman had glimpsed some nightmare terror as he died, sent shivers through Brave Man's soul. Brave Man shook off the feeling of premonition. The wolf people had cared for their shaman. His clothing had been tailored from the finest tanned elk hide and stitched by a skilled hand. Porcupine quills, dyed in different colors, had been worked into intricate designs on the chest, yoke, and arms of the shirt. The quill work gleamed eerie in the morning light. A wolf hide lay under the old man's body, his blood clotted and dried in the rich black fur. Brave Man turned to the lodge and gritted his teeth against the pain as he ducked through the low entry. Various pouches, fetishes, and feathered bundles had been hung from the lodge poles. The finest tanned hides made up the old man's bed. In the place of honor at the rear of the lodge stood a tripod of peeled willow sticks, and upon it rested a large bundle wrapped in wolf hide. Beside the tripod lay a beautiful rawhide parflesh, the carrying bag for the bundle, no doubt. Brave Man stepped closer and studied the bundle. He reached toward it, pain stitching his leg.
Yes, power. Here is the power of the wolf people.
The moment Brave Man's fingers touched the wolfhide wrapping, a charge ran up his muscles and thrilled in his very bones. Steeling himself, he lifted the prize from the tripod. Trembling, he peeled the black hide back. Something fell from the wrapping. Brave Man reached down and retrieved a carved stone effigy. He turned it in his fingers. An intricately carved wolf, crafted from a black stone and polished until it shone in the light.
Beautiful. And now, like the power, it is mine.
He dropped the stone wolf into his pouch. Brave Man's heart raced as he finished unwrapping the black wolf hide from around the bundle. Cradling the bundle in his hands, he studied it. The leather cover appeared to be very old and had been sewn into the shape of a heart. The top had been painted white to represent heart fat, while a blood red, laced by darker veins, had been rendered on the lower part. The cover stretched tautly, the way it would if the bundle were stuffed full. Full of what? Brave Man squeezed it and flinched. A queasy feeling stirred his gut, and pain like slivers of hot stone lanced his aching head.
Feel the power!
He closed his eyes and ignored the headache. His senses seemed to swim, to extend. His soul swayed. He could feel the power trying to wrap itself around him, surrounding him like a warm winter robe, drawing tight to suffocate.
No!
He lashed back at it, driving it from his soul.
It tried to kill me!
Brave Man looked at the bundle.
You won't get me that way. I'm stronger than you. And for trying to trick me, I shall destroy you!
Brave Man gloated down at the bundle and stepped out into the daylight. Looking closely, he could see the delicate stitching that held the sacred bundle together. The needlework had been done by a master, the seams so small they could hardly be seen.
Another prize?
Pale Raven was staring down at the old man's corpse. Brave Man threw his head back despite the thorns of pain that pulsed in his head.
The heart of the wolf people! I have their heart!
The bundle's power sought him once again, seeping into his flesh like chill on a winter day. He denied it, closing his eyes to draw on the power of pain and anger within. His balance failed him, and he fell, teeth gritted against the agony.
Call on your soul! Fight! Did you escape from the camp of the dead to die like this?
Brave Man! Brave Man!
Brave Man knew vaguely that Pale Raven touched him, then drew back in fear. Nothing existed for him except the battle of will he waged with the bundle.
I will destroy you! I hate you! Defy you! As I butchered your people, so shall I butcher you!
Anger welled, and he drew strength from it. He unleashed the festering resentment that filled his soul, striking back at the tendrils of power the bundle tried to weave around his soul. Seething rage twisted up from Brave Man's being. He broke the bundle's hold on him.
I
have won! All I must do is hate! Blood and fear are my weapons, my power!
The bundle's power drained away, and Brave Man blinked his eyes, dazed by the strength of his personal power. Or had the bundle let him go? He tightened his grip on it as if to strangle it.
You can't hurt me! No one is as powerful as Brave Man! Tonight you will see the full extent of my power!
He looked up, finding himself ringed by frightened people. The sun stood high overhead. How long had it been? Pale Raven knelt before him, her antelope-hide dress twisted in her strong hands. Brave Man rolled onto his side and shook his head to clear his vision. Sweat trickled down the side of his face.
Are you all right? What happened? I tried to help, but...
She closed her eyes.
I have broken their power.
Kill it! Burn it!
Brave Man slitted his eyes and raised the heart bundle to the sun.
See? See what I bring you? I, Brave Man, am the power of the sun! Thunderbird, I give you this heart!
Pale Raven looked around, cataloging the campsite.
You give it to Thunderbird?
Tonight...
Brave Man gripped the bundle until his fingers dimpled the sides.
During the dance, I shall send this to Thunderbird amidst the ashes of the wolf people.
Left Hand's fear pumped with each panicked beat of his heart. He held his breath and listened intently. He could hear them coming, hear the soft footsteps of the approaching warriors. Frantic, with nowhere to run, he'd slipped into a stand of young fir trees and dug into the thick mat of needles. Obscured by a web of green boughs, he waited, each remaining second of his life measured by the pumping of the blood in his veins. A bit of the duff he'd buried himself in broke loose and fell into his ear, tickling. Left Hand struggled to clear his mind, to be one with the rotting forest floor around him. If they found him now, he couldn't even defend himself. He'd cast his last dart and gained the small satisfaction of seeing it cut through an enemy warrior's side. Hopefully, it had gone deep enough to puncture the gut.
If only I could kill them all that way. Pay them back for what they've done to us today.
Left Hand could hear clothing rasp against the thick fir branches. Fear flooded his body.
Don't let them find me. Wolf, don't let it happen.
A warrior smacked a calloused palm against his darts. From where Left Hand lay under the thick duff, he could have reached out and touched one warrior's moccasined foot. The warriors went ominously quiet. They moved away.
Stay put. Don't move. Wait until dark. They might know how to stalk the timber, but they don't know all the trails.
He moved a dry tongue in his vile-tasting mouth and tried to swallow.
How did this happen?
The people had come together for the blessing. Today, the dance would have started. The people would have thanked Wolf for helping them through this terrible winter. But the morning's calm gave way to that eerie shriek, and warriors seemed to sprout from the ground. In the shadows of his hiding place, Left Hand clamped his eyes tightly shut. Until the day his soul rose to the star web above, he'd hear those shrieks as his people bolted like frightened mountain sheep in a trap. He'd watched Pretty Whistle darted down. Great Water, his mother, had stumbled and fallen, only to have her brains bashed out by a whistling war club. From every direction, more and more of the Sun Warriors appeared, as if there were no end to them, as many as the trees in the forest. Left Hand's gut wrenched. And what happened to the wolf bundle? Had anyone thought to save it in the last moments?
I have to go back and find out.
Brave Man sat before the shaman's lodge with his chin propped on his good knee. In the twilight around him, he could hear the broken stones rummaging through the lodges and studying the spoils left by the fleeing wolf people. Brave Man shifted to a more comfortable position on the furs he'd piled before the shelter. The women, children, and elders began to trickle in from their wood gathering in the forest. All day they'd hauled in deadfall, branches, and brush for the huge fire Brave Man planned for the coming night. He continued to stare thoughtfully at the bundle. The object rested on the willow stick tripod he had brought out of the lodge. He could feel the bundle's power. This thing of the wolf people had tried to kill him through a subtle constriction of the soul. Brave Man looked up at the purpling sky. The evening star gleamed above the tree line on the eastern horizon.
But I resisted. You failed, Power Bundle. And in the process, I learned just how powerful my soul really is.
His warriors returned one by one, having assured themselves that the wolf people had fled in panic. The bundle, unlike the wolf people, couldn't flee, but awaited his pleasure. What a gift for Bear and Thunderbird! The guardians of the Sun People would grant power and courage for a gift like this. His warriors were sating themselves on the captives, slaves for the broken stones. Those women who had been taken alive would bear strong children for his people. They would lessen the work of the broken stones women. Where was White Ash? A partial vision swam in his head, not of White Ash, but of many working for a few. He pulled the vision to him. Many people sweated in the sun, bearing the fruits of their labor before him on wide baskets. He sat on high, a feathered headdress rising above his brow, while he lounged on beautiful pelts of mink, otter, and mountain lion.
I will be like a powerful spirit myself. They will pray to me, make offerings so I shed my power for their benefit.
Brave Man shot a narrow glance at the bundle, knowing the telltale trace of its power. Yes, he'd captured the vision from the bundle. What other secrets did it possess? For long moments he probed, trying to bend the bundle to his will, but his efforts proved futile. He lashed out angrily, knocking the tripod over.
How can I make all these people work for me? How do I control so many captives? What will keep them from simply running off? And how much work can slaves do before the Broken Stones hunters spend more energy to feeding them than they're worth? Oh, there's something here. Some power for the future. We Sun People have always taken captives, but only women to breed and children to ransom back to other clans. How can I use captives to lead us to a new way of living? One where Broken Stones tell others what must be done.
Pale Raven walked out of the growing dusk to settle on the robes beside him. She wore a soft elk-hide dress that had been smoked to a golden brown. She wore her hair loose, a gleaming raven cascade that the wind teased.
A runner just came from Flying Hawk. All the wolf people are fleeing to the south.
Have they found White Ash?
No one has sent word yet.
Brave Man glanced irritably at the bundle that lay spilled in the hides.
Have any of the wolf people fought back?
Flying Hawk said that one or two have gathered their courage and have attempted to ambush our warriors, but that most of the enemy are too panicked.
Some will try.
He lifted the bundle. It raised a prickling in his flesh and turned it in the evening light.
Tomorrow, I will release one of their women to tell those who would continue to fight against us that their heart has been burned.
Pale Raven rubbed her hands rapidly along her arms.
I don't like that thing. I can almost feel it. How can you handle it that way?
Brave Man held the heart bundle before his eyes and gave it a pensive consideration.
Because my power is greater than its power. It has tried to fight me and lost.
He thumped the bundle with a thick finger.
You see, the sun is stronger than the heart. Everything comes from the sun, even Thunderbird and Bear. Before there was anything, There was the sun, the only creator and life-giver. The sun people are the new way for the world, and I am the new way for the sun people.
Pale Raven gave him a sober look.
I would not be your enemy.
Nor I yours. Tell me, how did you kill Sunfeathers?
Pale Raven hugged her knees and clasped her fingers, looking out at the darkening trees.
How can you be sure I did?
You ask the most powerful man among the broken stones? You ask the dreamer who dreamed this?
He gestured at the camp. Here and there, a fire brightened the velvet lavender of evening. She considered for a moment.
Age saps a man's strength, and he was an old man. I saw that he was going to make trouble for you. I could tell by the look in his eyes. He couldn't let you, a stripling, a white clay youth, take away his status. When he got to his lodge, I followed him inside and told him I had something to tell him. He asked me to sit. When he'd lowered himself, I reached out in the dimness and slipped a hide bag over his head. Then I lay on him and pushed his head down into all those soft furs of his. He tried to struggle, but he was too old, too weak. I waited for a long time after he ceased to fight. It was a good sack that I tied around his head. If it could hold water, I figured he couldn't breathe through it.
Did you hate him?
Among others.
Help me up. More warriors are coming in. It is time to start the dance.
Pale Raven stood and eased him to his feet. His weight bore down on the bad knee. He placed the bundle on the tripod again.
I think we have enough wood.
From the pile you had them drag in, we could burn the mountain down.
He looked up at the night sky.
Just so it can be seen from the camp of the dead.
Brave Man limped to the nearest fire. There, two warriors grinned up at him as they ate something they'd found in one of the captured parfleshes. Pale Raven handed him a burning brand before he walked over to the mountainous pile of wood the clan had gathered. He lit the tinder at the bottom. People began coming from all around, watching with wide eyes as they pointed at the growing fire. Brave Man tilted back his head to watch the first sparks whirl into the black sky. This night would be talked about forever.
You, Yellow Rock, bring the wolf women here. Put them in the light so all can see. I want them in the center of the dance.
But White Ash isn't among them. Still, you will have her this very night. Soon, if your power is strong enough, she will be yours.
Yes, spirits. My power will hold White Ash.
What?
Nothing.
The flames lit the camp and beyond. He, Brave Man, had accomplished this. His power had brought him from the camp of the dead on the Fat Beaver to lead the Broken Stones in this glorious victory. He basked in the admiration beaming from the people's eyes. At the edge of the timber, two warriors dragged yet another struggling captive in from the woods. Another woman for the Broken Stones. Idly, he wondered if they'd spent their manhood happily and glanced at Pale Raven. No captive could bring a man to the soul-leaping fulfillment Pale Raven had shown him. Brave Man put his arm around her shoulders and turned back to the fire. Flames shot high into the night. Where was White Ash?
She is yours this night, but we must warn you. Beware. Beware the workings of power.
The two warriors dragged their struggling captive closer to the fire.
We've caught a nice one, Five Darts. We'll share her. Or gamble to see who gets to keep her.
You might have to gamble to see who takes her first.
I have done nothing to you. Your enemies are the wolf people. In the name of Thunderbird, let me go.
You speak like a human being.
I'm White Clay.
Now for the gamble. Did they know of the White Clay's fate?
At the gathering, My family would pay to get me back. If you don't harm me, I'll work for you. Carry wood, cook, make hides until the gathering. And my family will buy me back.
Five Darts shot an excited glance at his friend.
Buffalo Jumps, we were told to look out for a white clay woman. Here, what's your name?
White Ash.
Hope sparked within. She would tell them anything, just as long as she could buy time to escape. Buffalo Jump sprang to his feet.
Tie her up! We've done it!
We've caught her! We caught White Ash!
Why am I such a catch?
The Soul Flyer wants you.
Soul Flyer? Who? Sunfeathers?
She'd seen the broken stone Soul Flyer at the last gathering on Bug River. What would the old man want with her? At least he wouldn't rape her, wouldn't beat her. Broken stones? A chill frosted her soul. Brave Man might be among them. He'd have gone there if the wolf people hadn't killed him. Had he said something to Sunfeathers? Maybe he made those claims of power?
Run, Bad Belly, run! Get off these cursed mountains and go home to Round Rock.
The thought of him trying to follow, to effect a rescue, tormented her. The broken stones would kill him on the spot the moment they caught sight of him. And Bad Belly would be seen. The day wore on. Thirst irritated her throat. Walking with thongs tied to her ankles, restricting her stride, cramped the muscles in her legs and hips. The binding on her ankles chafed and burned as each step rubbed her skin raw.
We can make better time if you took these bindings off.
Five Darts lifted an eyebrow as he looked at Buffalo Jumps. The latter shook his head.
No, better slow than the loser. The Soul Flyer would... Well, I don't want to face his wrath.
White Ash bit her lip and struggled on, hating it each time they lifted her over deadfall or carried her over rough ground like a limp buffalo quarter. As the sun began to drop in the western sky and shafts of light slanted through the trees, they passed the first body. An old woman lay in the trail, the back of her head bashed in.
Why did you attack the wolf people?
The Soul Flyer dreamed it. And Sunfeather sent us a signal from the camp of the dead. He burned a green fire through the sky, pointing away.
The Broken Stones have a new Soul Flyer, a powerful Soul Flyer. His name is Brave Man.
White Ash tripped and fell. She lay there in the trail, spilled hair hiding the horror on her face. A terrible sickness, like the gray, runny fluid that filled a rotting carcass, washed through her soul.
Come on, get up.
She won't unless we beat her. She knows Brave Man. She understands better than we do. She thought she would be able to plead before Sunfeathers. Now she knows better. Help me lift her.
The evening sky dimmed into indigo and then violet as they proceeded. White Ash did everything she could to stall. She snagged the binding thongs on branches and rocks. She fought when she could, struggling futilely against their superior strength.
Come on! I see the dance fire. We're almost there!
Please, let me go. You seem like honorable warriors. Don't do this to me.
Come on. What did White Clay ever do for me? My father died from a White Clay war dart.
They hustled her into a clearing, past a pile of bodies that had been dragged to one side. Brave Man had broken the implacable warriors of the mountains. A group of people stood around an enormous bonfire. Toward them, she was mercilessly dragged.
Go, Flyer!
White Ash pulled back, hiding herself in Buffalo Jump's shadow, twisting against the binding thong the man held. The glimpse was all she needed. She knew that profile, the set of those broad shoulders. Brave Man turned. Something seemed to be wrong with his leg.
Yes. I am Five Darts, and this is Buffalo Jump's.
Brave Man gave the men a more careful scrutiny.
Yes.
We have brought you the woman you asked for. We have brought you White Ash.
Brave Man pulled White Ash out from under Five Dart's shadow. She looked into those familiar eyes. Her heart thundered.
White Ash.
Let me go, Brave Man. I'll only bring you trouble.
This time there is no Windrunner to come to your rescue.
So this is White Ash.
A tall woman stepped closer. The firelight accented her striking features and long black hair.
Yes, Brave Man, she is beautiful. But woman, are you good enough? Are you better than Pale Raven?
White Ash tried to swallow her fear and failed.
Oh, I have waited long for this. Tonight, White Ash, your power will become mine, and you will even enjoy it, thanks to what Pale Raven has taught me.
We'll see, Brave Man. We'll see who you come back to.
Brave Man limped off toward a large lodge that stood alone in the center of the camp.
Bring her. She is mine now.
Lame. Brave Man has been lamed. A lame warrior Badbelly said on the night of his terrible dream. Thunderbird, no!
Buffalo Jumps caught her deftly as she tried to leap away and picked her up. The way he held her, she could do no more than flop about foolishly on his muscular shoulder.
Relax, White Ash. I've trained him for you. His soul has a vigor that possesses his manhood. He's been an eager student, and I have taught him well. You'll find this much better than rutting with the average warrior.
Speak for me. Don't let him do this. Don't you care? If you love him, do you really want him taking me?
Oh, I think I'll have him back eventually. All he wants from you is a child, and to gain your power. Let him plant his seed, White Ash. You might as well enjoy it. Like I told you, he is quite good.
Buffalo Jump stopped before the tall lodge. White Ash could see the symbols of power, the spirals, wolf, and the sun painted on the hides.
Place her on the furs here. What will happen will be seen from the camp of the dead.
Buffalo Jumps lowered her to the piled furs. White Ash clamped her jaws, futile tears blurring her vision. It would happen again. She couldn't fight so many.
Brave Man, what happened to you? Don't you remember what was between us? What happened to the young man I laughed with? What happened to the kindness? To the man I loved?
Brave Man raised his head to the night sky, where stars had begun to twinkle. Yellow firelight lit the soft folds of his clothing.
Power called me. Power has no use for the soft of heart or the sentimental. That brave man you knew died in the camp of the dead. The camp of the dead stripped off the parts of my soul that were weak, like bark from an old tree. Only the hardwood remains.
For all that's behind us, don't do this. Let me leave. I'll never come back. I just want to...
It's too late for that. A new way has come, and power has chosen me to lead it.
Why me?
The voices told me so long ago. You're powerful. Through you, I will find the way to the Golden Haze. Through your power, I will learn how to control that place and make a new way. The voices tell me that tonight, I shall plant my child. And he shall be great and powerful as no man has been powerful before.
Brave Man reached down. He lifted a leather object from a willow tripod.
See this? It is the spirit heart of the wolf people.
The wolf bundle. Too late. We're too late. Badbelly, I'm sorry. I should have rushed us, driven us to get here. I'm to blame. I hung back. My fear of the wolf people. And you will throw it in the fire after you're done with me.
You are powerful. You know, and you know why I must have you. You know what power has in mind for you. For me. It will be, White Ash. No matter how much you hate me, I must break you to my will. You can't deny power, and I have it.
He shook the wolf bundle.
Oh, this object tried to kill me, except Brave Man resisted. Even now it tries, but the spirit voices warn me first so I can defend myself.
The One and the Dream of First Man aren't for you. You don't know what you'll create with your power.
The One! Is that what you call it?
She turned her head away. Brave Man gestured at the two warriors.
You may go. You have earned the gratitude of Brave Man. If I need you, I'll call.
Five Darts and Buffalo Jumps grinned before they walked off toward the fire. A new pride filled their steps. Brave Man looked to Pale Raven.
I can't take the chance of untying her. Use your knife to cut her shirt.
Pale Raven knelt beside White Ash.
He has power, and he knows how to use it on a woman.
White Ash closed her eyes as Pale Raven sliced the beautiful shirt Singing Stones had given her down the front. The night air blew cool across her skin as the leather parted. Pale Raven's fingers worked at the laces of her pants. With surprising strength, the woman pulled them from her hips. White Ash couldn't stop the trembling that possessed her. A sickness grew in her gut.
How will it be, White Ash? Will you accept me without a fight? Or must I call Five Darts and Buffalo Jumps to hold you? Will you meet my power, accept it? Or will the Camp of the Dead and my warriors watch you?
Get it done.
Brave Man placed his hands on Pale Raven's shoulders.
Go. Start the dancing and singing. Lead them in the call to power. Tell them to sing with all their hearts as they call Thunderbird to watch.
Pale Raven nodded and walked off toward the fire.
Don't do this, Brave Man. Remember who we were. Remember what our ancestors...
I am the new way.
He pulled his shirt over his head. Firelight gleamed on his powerful chest. He undid the laces that held his fringed leggings. The joint of his knee looked knotted and lumpy as burl wood on a pine.